good to turn in your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 11. We'll be looking at verses 17 through 19 today. Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. While you're turning, I didn't get confused and write the title of the song down twice. That is the title of the sermon. So, Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. Hear now the word of the Lord. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had received the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead, and figuratively speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. This is God's word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Pray that you would use that word now to accomplish your purposes. Touch hearts and lives. Lord, convict. Build up in the most holy faith your people. Lord, let us hear your voice this day. Lord, our desire is to hear your voice only. We ask these things in Christ's name, for his sake. Amen. What's the hardest thing God has ever asked you to do? Your mind may run to many difficult situations that you have been in, many things that you have been through, but these are not necessarily things that God asks you to do. Many of these things are the result of living in a fallen and sinful world, compounded by your own sin and disobedience. Living in the time in which we live, God is not going to appear to you as he did to Abraham with a command. But you hold in your hand his complete revelation, as the confession says, everything we need to know about God and the duty that he requires of us. You have it. Right here. But let me ask you, are there not some things that God commands that are very hard to do? If you're indeed faithful to what he requires, are there not some things that God says here that are difficult to do? You know, faith has its parallel in obedience. Faith has its parallel in obedience. Faith and obedience go together. A thing that we see in this is Abraham, a shining example of obedience, of faith that manifested itself in obedience that we can hardly conceive of. Abraham obeyed God. We read just a little bit earlier, he had walked in faith with God for a long time. He left his home in Ur of the Chaldees and went to a place that God would show him. We saw a few weeks ago, he didn't even know where he was going. God just said, "Go and I will show you," and Abraham got up and left, even though it was kind of a circuitous route he took. But now, after 25 years of waiting there in that place that God took him, God blessed he and Sarah with the son of promise. And then, sometime later, God says, "I want you to take your son, Isaac, and offer him as a sacrifice to me." This is a little bit different than going to a foreign land. If you go to the land of promise and things don't really work out, you can always go back home. When you take your son and kill him and offer him as a burnt offering to God, there's no going back. There is no going back. this required a tremendous amount of faith on Abraham's part. Abraham obeyed God. I should say, if he obeyed God. If he were to obey God. Put yourself in his place. If he were to obey God, he's going to lose the son of promise. There would be no more Isaac. If he disobeys God, he's going to lose his special relationship with God. What's he supposed to do? What would you do? Don't you get a little sick feeling here in the pit of your stomach just thinking about it? How would you handle this? Well, first, let's understand the nature of the test. As we mentioned, Abraham's faith had triumphed when God told him to leave home. He had waited 25 years until it was humanly impossible to have a son, and then God blesses he and Sarah with the son of promise, one through whom the promises would come through his offspring. This son was the one through whom would come the one through whom all the world would be blessed. And God calls this son his one and only son. And we know Abraham had a son through Hagar, Ishmael. But God says, Isaac is your one and only son because he is the one and only one through whom the promise will come. This has to be a severe test for Abraham. But God asked Abraham to kill his own son with his own hand. Now, it would have been bad enough if Isaac had gotten sick and died, or if he had been killed in some kind of accident. That would have been a great test for Abraham. But God says, now, you take your son, and you offer him as a sacrifice to me. What in the world is going through Abraham's mind at that time? Can this be from God? Perhaps I've misunderstood what he said. Surely this can't be. This sounds more like the devil trying to destroy the son of promise. Maybe he's just trying to stamp out what God's trying to do. Maybe I'm just monumentally confused here. Well, we don't know and we can't know what went through Abraham's mind. What we do know is he obeyed God. He believed God. In faith, he understood what God said. And he had no way of knowing the outcome. Martin Luther said if he had known this was a trial, it would not have been a true trial. He said, if he had known this was a test, it wouldn't have been a test. Luther said, such is the nature of our trials, that while they last, we cannot see to the end. We don't know how it's going to turn out. What are we to do when we can't see the end? What are we to do when we can't see the reason for which God commands a certain thing? What does the scripture say? We walk by faith and not by sight. We don't walk by what we see. We don't walk by what we reason out with our fallen, sinful minds. We walk in obedience to what God says. Abraham obeyed. He got up early the next morning, we read in the Old Testament. He got up early. He cut the wood for the sacrifice himself. Physical activity has a way of taking your mind off your problems sometimes. He didn't talk it over with his wife. He didn't call some of his friends together and ask for advice. He set his face to do what God had commanded. And the place to which God sent him was 3 days away. Don't you know he had plenty of time to think about what he was going to do as he traveled along that road? But he doggedly put one foot in front of the other and kept going, determined to go. go and do what God had commanded. He's going to obey God. You know, I was fond of telling my children when they were growing up, delayed obedience is the same thing as disobedience. You know, when you respond only to threats and to pleadings and bribery, that's not obedience. Abraham got up early in the morning and headed out to do what God said. You know, delayed obedience can cause you problems. It can cause you harm. If a person walks in the back door of this church with a weapon and I yell out, "Get down," and you go, "Why is he telling us to get down?" You'll probably get shot. That's delayed obedience. God does not ask for delayed obedience. He wants us to obey. When we hear, he wants us to obey. Abraham didn't say to the Lord, "Lord, I really don't understand what you're asking me to do. Let me pray about it, think about it a few days, and I'll get back to you." He didn't talk it over with his wife. He didn't get some of his close friends together and say, "Well, what do you think? What should I do?" He didn't say, "Lord, this doesn't make any sense to me at all. If I sacrifice the son of promise, how are you going to bless me? How am I going to have offspring like the stars in the sky, the grains of sand on the beach? How's that going to happen? How can I do this as a parent? How's the whole world going to be blessed if the one that's going to bless the whole world is to come through Isaac?" You know, can you just imagine questions? But the question for you is this: how do you respond to God's clear commands? This was very clear. The Lord himself spoke to Abraham and told him what to do. How do you respond to God's clear commands? Unambiguous commands. I'm talking one in the scripture. Oh, commands like, you shall not steal. You shall not lie. You should not commit adultery. You should honor your father and mother. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. You shall have no other gods before me. You should not make to yourself an idol. You shouldn't make an idol with your hands. You shouldn't make one with your heart that so often looks just like you. How often do you engage in these mental gymnastics and excuses, consulting with others to see what they think about what God said, instead of just simply obeying? Instead of doing what God said. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Oh yes, and your neighbor as yourself. How would you classify your obedience? Immediate? Delayed? Or not at all? It often depends on the command, doesn't it? Should it? Is the question. Should it? Look at, how did Abraham do this? How was Abraham able to do this? Look at verse 17. There's the answer. By faith. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him. That's how he did it. He believed God. He trusted God. You see, part of the problem with our obedience is we don't really trust God. We don't believe God has our best interest at heart. "Well, Lord, if I do that, that's going to cause me some pain or money or hardship, or I'm not sure what might happen." We don't trust God to have our best interest at heart. Jeremiah 29:11, Lord says, "I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." We really believe that. Abraham, after three agonizing days, I can't imagine how you keep walking for 3 days knowing what's coming at the end of the third day. He finally gets there, the mountains of Moriah. Mount Moriah holds a special place in biblical geography, the place where Abraham was prepared to sacrifice Isaac. David later buys the threshing floor of the Jebusite, on top of Mount Moriah. He buys that from him in order to offer a sacrifice to the Lord to stop the plague on Israel. And that piece of property is the site of the temple, 2 Chronicles chapter 3. So this holds a special place. Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord Will Provide." There's an alternate translation there. You could say, "The Lord will be seen." The Lord himself walked and talked and healed and proclaimed the good news in that very place. I'm getting a little bit ahead of the text there. Abraham obeyed God. In fact, if God had not stopped them, he would have sacrificed Isaac on that spot. See, his will, his heart, his mind, were all set on doing what God had commanded. You know, in the preparations for the journey, in the final readying of Isaac for the sacrifice, Abraham exercised great faith. And, you know, when we say that, we should say a word about the faith of Isaac. Isaac is not a little boy like he's portrayed in the Bible storybooks. He's at least a late teenager, possibly as old as 36, 37 years old. And they go through a lot of different ways of arriving at that, but I can show you a simple one there in what we read. Abraham has the wood for the burnt offering. It takes a fair amount of wood to burn up a human body. He took it off the donkey and placed it on Isaac, and Isaac carried it up the mountain. Isaac was a man. He was a man's man. He could have easily whipped his aging father. He submitted to his father, to his father's command. Humbly. You know? He acquiesced to his father's commandment. He allowed himself to be bound and laid on the wood. Abraham's about to plunge a knife into him. We don't really know what was said between the two. But it's safe to say that Abraham's faith and commitment is somewhat contagious. I think that's a good lesson for all parents. They see their parents. The children see their parents. They see their faith. They see their obedience. And they tend to walk in that way. They all have their prodigal son days and daughter days. But they see the faith and the obedience of their parents. Isaac saw and humbly submitted himself to what was going to be his death. You know, at this point, literally the point of the knife was inches away from Isaac's chest. And reason would say what? If this happens, what happens to the promise of God? You know, God's been very explicit in all this. It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. It is through Isaac that the one will come who will bless the whole world. If he sacrificed, what becomes of the promise? How can God's promise be reconciled with God's command? It really can't be, reasonably. But laying aside his human reason, Abraham put his faith in God. He reasoned, if I sacrifice Isaac, the son of promise, the one through whom all the promises are to come, that will not change the promise of God. God's promise is sure. And even if I sacrifice Isaac, if I have to sacrifice my son to be obedient to God, God has the power to raise him from the dead in order to be faithful to his promise. That's what he believed. It says so right here in our text. Even if Isaac is sacrificed, even if he is reduced to ashes, God has the power to raise him from the dead, because God has promised that through Isaac all these things are going to happen, and that's what's going to happen. That's quite remarkable, because at this point in the scripture, there's been no instance, no record of anyone ever being raised from the dead. Abraham has this faith, this belief in God. Tremendous faith. He's called the father of the faithful. He has this tremendous faith in God. So what was the result of faith? God stayed Abraham's hand. The angel of the Lord, the angel of the Lord himself, not an angel, the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ, called out to Abraham, stop, don't do it, don't lay a hand on Isaac. Abraham was committed to carrying this out. He was in the process of doing it. And thus, in a figurative way, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. Because when Abraham starts to do this, he knows Isaac's as good as dead. A second later, he has his son back, figuratively, from the dead. You know, this is the result of faith. The angel of the Lord says, now I know that you fear God. There's a Genesis 22, by the way, verse 12, is a great example that proves that the angel of the Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you look at the pronouns in there, he equates me, the angel of the Lord, with God in that sentence. It is God himself, the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the commandment fought against the promise. The reason for obedience defied explanation. It was surely the hardest thing that Abraham was ever called to do in his entire life. None of us have been called to do anything even resembling that. But Abraham rested his faith on who God is. Abraham had already learned a lesson. There's nothing that God can't do. And he knew that if he was obedient to God and his son actually died, that God would still fulfill this promise and that he would raise Isaac from the dead if that was what required. You know, he chose to obey God. And he placed the problem of annihilating the promise in the hands of God. Lord, this is what you said to do. You take care of it. See, we always want to take care of this stuff ourselves. We always want to be the one to solve the problem ourselves. Abraham trusted God and he obeyed God. That's simple. You know, the response to God's promise is manifested in trust in the promise, the obedience of faith. Do you trust God? That's the question. Do you trust God? A sure way to measure your trust is by your obedience. So, beloved, no matter how difficult it may be to obey God's clear commands, to be obedient, you should obey without hesitation. You should obey without measuring God's command against human reason, your sinful fallen reason, because your duty is clear. Trust God and obey, and he will fulfill all that he has promised in his time. His promises are sure. You know, Abraham responded in faith and offered up his one and only son, Isaac, as God commanded, and figuratively received him back from the dead, because he was in the process of putting the knife to him when his hand was stayed by the angel of the Lord. the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, God's one and only Son. And even while we stand in amazement at Abraham's faith, what can we say about the love of God, who did not spare his own Son, but freely offered him up for us all? From eternity past, he had ordained that his Son would take the journey from heaven to earth, being made like us in every way except for sin, that he might be the perfect sacrifice. That he might be the perfect sacrifice for your sin. You know, the ram caught in the thicket we read in the Old Testament there was a sacrifice offered up by Isaac that day long ago in place of Isaac. And the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, was a sacrifice offered up in your place that day long ago. God's all-sufficient, one-time, perfect sacrifice offered up in your place. And Jesus Christ lived every day of his life knowing that he was going to Mount Moriah to be offered up there as that sacrifice. And God the Father's hand would not be stayed. God the Father is the one who crushed his own Son under the weight of his wrath that should have rested on you. Isaiah says that it pleased the Lord to crush him for your sake. It was the Lord's will that he suffer and that he become a guilt offering for the sins of his people. He was the guilt offering for all who will believe. And God's acceptance of that sacrifice is seen in his resurrection from the dead. He received him back from the dead. And he exalted him to the highest place. He stands today in the center of the throne, bearing the marks of his crucifixion for all those who will but believe. You know, all this was dimly seen in what we read about Abraham. All that was just a foreshadowing of the real sacrifice of the one and only Son by God the Father in the place of us to show his love for us. Abraham could never imagine the revelation that you have, the revelation you received from God right here of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice and his resurrection. He had no idea of what you know. He had great faith, more than we can even imagine. But you know more of the gospel than he ever knew, than he could ever imagine. And the question is, having received such from God, what should your obedience be like? Should it be in proportion to what you've received versus what Abraham received? You have to answer that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that you are a wonderful, compassionate God. You loved us in ways we cannot even imagine. We tremble as we think about the obedience and faithfulness of Abraham. We should tremble even more at your love and mercy that would offer up your own Son, your only begotten, beloved Son, in the place of sinners. And Lord, what you require is faith to believe that we're sinners without hope, that Jesus Christ was was the perfect sacrifice that atoned for our sin. That he has been raised from the dead, is in heaven, and is coming again to judge both the quick and the dead. Lord, how simple it sounds, but how difficult for fallen, sinful people to believe. How glorious it is for your people who believe and are saved. Lord, when we contemplate the wonder of salvation, Lord, and look at ourselves, and look at our obedience, and look at how we respond to what you command us to do, Lord, it should fill us with grief that we are so disobedient, so slow to obey. Lord, help us, we pray. Help us to trust you more, to walk in obedience to you, for your glory and honor. We pray all these things in Christ's name, for his sake. Amen.